Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
This is Robert Spencer, the director of Jihad Watch and the author of The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades and The Truth About Muhammad. And you are listening to Audrey Russo on Real Talk.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. And that bumper was How We Operate by Gomez. Well, we who are awake and value freedom in the West know how the ideology of Islam operates. And my next guest not only knows the truth about Islam, but as a politician is actually doing something to combat their march towards subjugation. Oscar Freisinger is a member of the Swiss People's Party. His party has grown from 9% to 30% due to his courage to tell the truth about the political system masquerading as a religion. Of course, I'm speaking about Islam. As an educator by profession, Oscar continues to educate his constituents as well as other free people on the dangers that the ideology of Islam poses to our liberties and our way of life in the West. And he's been gracious enough to join us direct from Switzerland. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome to Oscar Freisinger. Welcome, Oscar.
Hi.
Well, it's great to have you with us. We're going to jump right into this. Oscar, you and your party helped change immigration laws to make life safer in Switzerland. Could you share what problems you noticed with Muslim immigration and if you were what you were able to accomplish as far as the immigration laws for your country?
Yes, I can. The first thing we did in 2009 was a ban on the building of minarets, because that is not a doctrinal obligation for Muslims to build minarets, but it's a very important signal because it it shows that Islam is growing, that Islam is progressing, and it is a very visible sign of this progression of Islam. And so we tried to forbid the construction of minarets on Swiss soil, and the people gave us right. We had 58% of people were voting yes for our initiative. And from that moment on, no minaret was built on Swiss soil.
And that's really huge. I'm just curious, what kind of, did you get any kind of pushback from possibly the media and the Islamic community? Were they pushing back hard against this?
It's always the same. The moderate Muslims don't react because they are integrated and they live like we are living and so on. They, most of the time, don't act against something like that. But the more radical groups, they always then shout and make noise and protest against this discrimination, how they call that. But finally, the biggest enemies we have, the those who fight us most, are the media from our country, from our own country, the left parties, for example, all those parties who are for the globalization or for free immigration and so on, those who want to abolish the limits, the frontiers and so on, all these people always cry out and insult us, say we're racist, against foreigners and so on. And that's not the case. You know, the case is not against people. A lot of Muslims practice their religion like we do, not very doctrinal manner. But the doctrine, the basics of this doctrine is very violent, because these Islamic radical groups, they have an interpretation of the Quran or of the Hadith or of the Sharia, which is very, very hard, and they are hardliners. And the spirit of this doctrine, of this dogma, is absolutely contrary to the freedom we know in our democratic country. Even the European Court for Human Rights has stated in 2002 that the Sharia is not compatible with states of rights, with democracy. And so it's normal for us to ask Muslim people, if they come to Switzerland, to integrate, to accept our values, to accept our traditions, and to have an application or a practice of their religion, which is private, which is compatible with our values, with our laws, and so on. That's the point, I think.
Yes, and so I was going to actually ask you, because our problem here in the States is that our media is filled with leftists and Marxists who have worked diligently to drown out the truth about Islam. So now you obviously have a similar problem there with your media.
Yes, and that's very schizophrenic, if I may say so, because those leftist people always pretend to defend the homosexuals, pretend to defend the rights of children, the rights of the women, and so on. But on the other hand, they want to open all the doors for this Islamic religion, and for the, especially for the more doctrinal, for the more intolerant part of it. I can't understand that. Have they read the texts? Have they read the Sharia? Have they read the Hadith and so on? I think it's a way of acting. I can't understand, because on the one hand, they want to defend the rights of homosexuals. On the other hand, they defend Islam. But in Islam, the homosexuals have no rights. They have only the right to be stoned or to be hanged or to be persecuted. Right. You have no religious freedom and so on. The women are considered people of second zone, less value and so on. So I can't understand why especially these leftist groups always defend Islam.
You made a great point there. It's almost schizophrenic, because how do you say that you support, let's say, for instance, homosexuals, and then support Islam, who the dictates say to kill them? They're murdered. So that's That is insane. And women to say that they, you know, they cover them in burqas because they're protecting them, where there's no freedom for women at all. So it, and they're, and the leftist media is playing both sides, which is crazy because they oppose each other so greatly. Isn't that true?
I think it's maybe a question of ideology. I'm a pragmatic politician. I mean, the reality is like it is. You have to open your eyes and open your ears and watch your look around, and then you see what the reality is in the practice. And that is the most important. You have to make a politics for the people, how they are in reality, for situations like they are real, in the real world, and not to act for a dogma, an ideology you defend above all everything else. So these people, these leftist people, have this ideology of making disappear the limits, the fronts, the borders, of open all the societies, of this ideology, we are all brothers, in fact, you are all believing the same things, you are all the same. But that's not true. There are big differences between the cultures. I think the way of the Islamic world to consider the link to God, to Allah, or the link to the legal system, to government, is very different in comparison to the Western states, to the democratic states. They have not separation between the religious part and the civil part. It's all mixed up. It's all one law, and their privileged link to Allah is a legal link. If you abide to the law, the Islamic law, you are moral, and if you don't, you are amoral or immoral. And it's not the same in our society. In our society, first we have the Decalogue, we have a moral law, and after that, human beings have begun to formulate some laws which are fluctuant. You can transform them, you can modificate them, you can work on them because it's made by human beings. It can be changed by human beings. But in the Islamic religion, there is a law. It's the word of God. It has been given by Gabriel to Muhammad and then to the human beings. And if it's the word of God, you can't change it. Mm. So it's another status of the law. It's another, as you call that, another way of considering this this link to God, this link to the religious law.
Right. I personally, through doing my studies in it, I find that Muhammad was a very clever politician because he intertwined, he took a political system and then he covered it, or I say burqa'd it, in religion, because he knew how people respected, had religious sensitivities, and so they would respect someone else's beliefs. So that's how I see in the West how they come in, and then if you criticize or question, even if you just question what they're doing based on their own books, then suddenly you're a racist, which makes no sense at all because it's not a race, and they use the religion. Isn't it true? They use the religion.
Absolutely. The religion is used. It's always like that. It's always about power. I mean, human beings have spoken about God all the time from the beginnings on. In fact, they never spoke about God. They always spoke about themselves, about power, about money, about conquer other people, and so on. And this problem with the Islamic religion is that, in fact, they want to conquer the whole world. They say, I mean, the more radical part of it, the Wahhabites or the Salafists, those are the people from Saudi Arabia and Qatar and so on, which are financing all around the world for billions of dollars. And they're financing the construction of mosques and so on. And they always finance radical groups. They don't finance the moderates. They always finance the radical groups. And they want to conquer the whole world because they think that a long time ago, the whole world was Islamic, and it has to be Islamic again. Right. It's only a reconquest. And that's not, for me, it's unacceptable. I mean, people, when they come to Switzerland, they have to adapt to our laws. And that's absolutely, they can't continue to act like that, because they will sooner or later be in confrontation with our law, with our rules. And we can't accept that, because if we accept that, sooner or later we will be swallowed up by this concurrent religion.
Exactly. I believe, you know, the grave problem that occurs when there is especially mass Muslim immigration is that they refuse, as you just said, they have refused to assimilate into the host country, but rather because of their ideology, they intend to conquer that culture and force it to submit to Islam's dictates. So this is a problem, obviously, that we are not only beginning to experience here, but that you've experienced in Europe and in some places in Europe, as I've interviewed others in Sweden, as a matter of fact, that they had opened, you open the doors not realizing that those that are coming in are not your friends, but in this case, your enemy, at least an enemy of your culture. Isn't it true?
Absolutely. We see that in France, in Belgium, in Great Britain, it's more pronounced than in Switzerland. For the moment, we in Switzerland have a Muslim society, Muslim immigration, which is coming from the Balkan. And the Balkan has been, these people have been Islamic on the late. It's not the same like people coming from the Arabic countries or from the Maghreb and so on. Mm-hmm. So the problem is not so religious problem here in Switzerland. It's rather a problem with criminality, with selling drugs, weapons, prostitution, and so on. We have an Albanian mafia, Russian mafia, Albanian mafia, which are acting on Swiss soil. It's a rather a problem for criminality. But all around of us, you have the creation of parallel societies, of ghettos, big ghettos. There come 100,000, 200,000 people living on a ghetto where, for example, in France, it's very near to where I'm living. France is only 30 kilometers far from where I'm living.
Wow.
Those people don't integrate. They create an extraterritoriality of the Islamic country they're coming from. The Swiss, the French police don't dare anymore to go into these ghettos. In fact, there is the Islamic law reigning. And the women are treated there like they are treated in Saudi Arabia and so on. And then a few kilometers farther, you have a modern society from the 21st century. You have a clash between the Middle Age and the modernity. You have a parallelization of societies and a confrontation, which is inevitable, because in these ghettos, you have another problem with poverty, bad education, unemployment. All these social problems amount one to another, and then you put an imam in the middle of that, which is financed by the Wahhabites, by this extremist religious current, and then you have the problem they had in France a short time ago. You have this attacks on Charlie Hebdo and so on. It's something we are creating by ourselves. The Islamic people do what they have to do. If they have an agenda, they exactly know what they want to obtain. But we have to resist, and I think we are too weak to resist, because our country has abandoned his own values. We're not longer strong enough to defend all that which has led us to create these modern societies we have created.
Absolutely, and because in the past, anytime, just as we hear in the States, when we open our arms to immigrants, they want to be part of the country they're coming into. They want to assimilate. In your case, they want to be part of the Swiss people. They don't want, so now you have a segment of society, whether, I'm not talking about the moderate or secular Muslims, I'm talking about the devout that are going according to the Quran, the Hadith, they're following, and they close off, as you mentioned, what's happening in France, closing off societies. Those what people don't that don't understand what the Quran and the Hadith say is that they not only have a Sharia law for themselves, but Sharia law tells them how we are to behave. Isn't that true?
Yes, it's true, because we have a special status as non-believers. In their eyes, we are non-believers, and we have a special status. As long as they are not the majority in a country, they have to adapt. They have to seem to adapt. They only make as if they would integrate. But most of the time, they don't, really. And they're only waiting for the moment when they have the critical mass, and they can then overrule or overtake the power in this country. That's what I'm fearing, because the problem is the demography. The problem is that they have a lot of children, and the European society has only 1-2 children, and these Islamic people have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 children. And if you wait 10, 20, 30 years, then comes the moment when they have the power. So we have to react before it's coming to that, because I don't want to abandon this society, this civilization I'm living in, which is coming from the old Greece and then from the Judeo-Christian society. They melted and created this very tolerant, democratic, respectful society. And the only hope I have is maybe that with internet, that with the modern communication, that once there will be a reaction of the women in Islam. For the moment, I don't see a reaction like that, because they are absolutely living in slavery. But they had it will come the day when Islamic women will react and say, we are the equals of men, and we don't want this patriarchal situation going on. We want a free and open society, not to go to the streets with open faces and not covered with this black
veils.
What do you call that? This black veil and so on. Yes.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. That would be wonderful. But of course, the Muslim men will make sure that they keep the women away from the Western women, because they might get ideas, right, of being free. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, they even try to forbid them to learn the language of the host country.
Really?
I have some families here, yes, where the man is the only one who knows the language of the country, French or German. We are speaking French or German here in Switzerland, or Italian. And the woman is confined at their home. She's like a prisoner in her apartment, and can't really have a contact to the people of the host country, only contact to other Muslim women. So they create this parallel society, create this segregation. And that's not a good evolution. I think we have absolutely to fight this. We don't have to accept that the young women in school wear the veil. That's not acceptable. They have to be educated like the boys. There's no difference between girls and boys in education. As soon as you accept this difference, You accept this segregation, and you have the problem with this radical Islam going on.
Yes, you make a great point about resisting. We have in the West, we're tolerant, but our tolerance has a limit. We don't tolerate those that want to destroy us. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's absolutely.
it sounds silly that I say that. I know. It sounds silly, but
if someone is pointing a weapon on you, you have the right to defend yourself and to take the measures you need or which are necessary to save your life. That's self-defense. it's absolutely legitimate to react.
Exactly, and that's I think that's a human right, to self-defense. And if we're not permitted to do that, you know, in this case, in our country, I know that you, you know, you have that right there, and we have a right here. There, although they're infringing, the government little by little is infringing upon our Second Amendment rights, a right to self-defense. But I think that is also a barrier to them forcibly taking over areas in Switzerland because they know that you can defend yourself. Isn't that true?
Okay, that's true. But on the other hand, our hands are bounded by the constitution and the laws. Mm-hmm. We are a state of right. And that means we have here a religious tolerance.
Yeah.
The state is neutral and has to guarantee that all the religions can live one on the side of the other in peace. But the problem is Islam, the radical Islam, doesn't want to live in peace with other religions. They want to be the only religion. They want to be exclusive. And that's not acceptable. And so they abuse our religious tolerance, in fact. As soon as we react, as we stop, try to stop them, as we try to say to them, you can't go further than this, they always begin to shout out, to insult us, and to say we're racist, to say there's discrimination, and so on. But I would see how the reaction would be in Saudi Arabia if I would behave on the same way there as a Christian. I think I would be in prison the next day. And they ask for us to be very tolerant and open and so on. But on the other hand, this reciprocity is not given.
You know, that's another great point. I've always often wondered about that with the so-called, well, the leftist leaders in the West that have no problem with Saudi Arabia telling people if they have crosses or Stars of David that they have to remove them as they enter the country. But they want us to be completely tolerant and not say a word about Islam in our country. That seems like a double standard, don't you think?
Absolutely, and it's going further. We have here requests from Muslim families where the children are going to school that we take away the crosses which are on the wall in the classroom. There is a Jesus Christ, a cross, and mm-hmm. they want this cross to be taken away. But it's our country, it's our traditional religion. I don't understand why this cross should be an insult for them. That's for me. It's incredible. And the most astonishing is that the media here, the our own people, the leftist intellectuals, all say, "Oh yes, we have to destroy these crosses. We have to be very tolerant." And they accept everything from the Muslims. You can. You must accept all what they are doing, but as soon as the Christian religion is concerned, that's not important. It's the same. If you see what is happening now in Syria, everywhere in the Middle East, Christian communities are massacred, are destroyed, are persecuted, are murdered, assassinated, everything.
Yeah.
But on the media here, there's not one word about that.
Wow.
And as soon as there is a tag on a mosque, it's like it would be the biggest crime which has been committed. I think it's very crazy. In Europe, we have now a new trend. In France, for example, Jewish people are leaving the country. And by thousands are leaving the country to go to live in Israel because they don't feel secure anymore in France. You have the same problem in Sweden, near Malmö, where all the Jewish community has fled into another country. I think it's not possible to close the eyes and to accept such situations.
Precisely, and that's what to me is crazy about our media, because we have the same problem with our media. Seems that the thousands of Christians are being slaughtered by Muslims and Boko Haram and ISIS and their ilk they don't seem to have a problem with it because they never report it. But exactly what you said, the minute an attack happens on a mosque, it's the most heinous crime that has happened in world history. I mean, this is how crazy they treat it. I think that's insane. Maybe it's just me.
In the last year in France, you had a few hundred attacks against churches or Christian cemeteries and so on. And only four attacks against the mosque. But the only thing you could find in the media was this few attacks on the mosque, but the attacks on Christian cemeteries or churches, you couldn't find. It's incredible. That's the reason why the only possibility for people like you and me is to use internet, to go to, there are a few blogs which give us the right information about the geopolitical situation, about what's happening on the world. Internet is the last free platform where you can get informations which are not absolutely manipulated by this globalization group there, or these leftists. I don't know exactly what it is, but those people which have an ideology, I don't know if finally they use Islam maybe to destroy the existing world and to create a new world with a global planetary government or something like that. I don't know, but it seems to be like that, because I can't understand that these people can be such self-destructive.
I scratch my head on that one too. I don't understand. Maybe they think they're using Islam, and then they think that they will take over. I'm talking about leftists, Marxists, that they'll start a new society. And at the same time, Islam, of course, as it has always been with Muhammad, whatever they took, and if they lost it, they're going to take it back because it belongs to them. So I'm not sure what they're all thinking, but the ones that have tasted the freedom in democracy, it's almost insane that they would allow us or push us, force us into captivity under this kind of ideology, which is the antithesis of what we believe. Isn't it true? I mean, it's the antithesis of what we believe.
Yes, but it's a very dangerous game. We had the same situation in Iran. There was the Shah, and those people, especially the leftist people, these Mujahideen, which were the communists in Iran, they helped to overrule the Shah.
Yes.
And the first people who were then killed and persecuted were these communist people who helped the Islamists to take the power. And that's the dangerous game. It's quite self-destructing. It's morbid. I can't understand that. It's dreadful to see these people acting in that way. But on the other hand, I think Islam is only strong in his ideology because we are weak. If we would have such a conviction like they have, defending our own religion, our own spirituality, our own mystic, like they do with their dogmatic interpretation of Quran, we would be very strong to defend ourselves. But as soon as you don't believe in nothing, you think the world is absurd and you are cynical and so on, how will you defend yourself against this dogmatic religion? It's quite impossible. You have to oppose a value, you have to oppose a belief, you have to oppose something strong, something which is transcendental. And we have this in our Christian religion. We have this possibility. Without being dogmatic, only this transcendental love we have, which Jesus Christ has brought us. It's on the gospel. I think this is the base of our law. It's the base of our modernity. We come from this culture, and now we are trying to cut our roots to be free and modern people who don't believe anything, who are materialistic. I don't know exactly. We don't believe in anything, and that's not the possibility to oppose a resistance to something such as strong as people who could even die for their belief, even if it's stupid. But they have this power. They have this courage to die even for their dogmatic belief.
Yes.
What have we to oppose to that?
Yes, it is. I tell you, we're in a precarious situation, and I think the only way that it's going to have to be a grassroots movement by the people to push against this, because they young people are not being taught definitely in universities. They're not being taught the truth about this ideology, which is tyrannical. It is tyrannical because it wants to take over everything. There is no outsiders. There is no freedom. You either, you know, are subjugated, or you live as a second class citizen, a Dahimi, or they will kill you. So, which we see is happening with the Christians, in Syria with ISIS, and also in Nigeria with Boko Haram. So, this is not a good situation, and it's up to really, people, the Judeo-Christian believers to stand up, because what we persuade by is, we persuade in peace. These people do not persuade in peace. They do it by the sword, because that's how Muhammad did it. Isn't that true?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But this reaction has to come in the next 10 or 20 years,
yeah.
Because after that it will be too late. For France, it would be too late. They have, for the moment, 6 to 10 million Muslims out of a population of 60 million. If it goes on like that in 20, 30 years, I think that the original population of France will not be able to react anymore. And those people don't have to take over with brutality or with power, with a revolution or something like that. No, they will do it on a quite democratic way. On a democratic way, because they will have the number. And they will have the critical mass to take over. That's what I'm fearing, because in Islam you have two ways of acting. On the one hand, you have the fundamentalists that they say, okay, the womb of our women will solve the problem for us. We will Islamize this planet. It will last for maybe 1,000 years, but it will come. We have all the time we need. And the others, the integrists, these are more violent people. They want to change coming earlier and rapidly, or by a violent means. I think these people are less dangerous than the previous. They are more dangerous because that makes dead people and attacks and attentates and so on. But on the long run, they are less dangerous because they wake up the countries where Islam is trying to take over.
Yes.
In France, there has been a reaction of the civil society, and maybe this reaction will have even some results in the next elections or so on. We don't know exactly how it will express. But a lot of people in France have opened their eyes to that. And the fundamentalists don't want these attacks to take place, because they have all the time. They will do it on a very slow but invisible manner, and when then the population reacts, it's too late.
Yes, that was excellent. I agree with your assessment that those that are doing it quietly through the womb, through so-called education, or soft jihad, they're the ones that are more dangerous, because it's like what they say, the frog put in the water and he boils.
Yes.
Slowly.
Yes.
He doesn't, right.
Yes.
So that's exactly, because the others, as you said, wake the people up. Wow, what is this? And when they see the violence, so those that do it quietly are much more dangerous to freedom. I would hate to see it, but France could, the whole culture, the whole tradition, the traditions, their values, all wiped out by just continuing to appease, because appeasement never does anything for the cause of freedom. It never, appeasing, as we've seen in history, has never done anything beneficial for freedom, has it?
No, yeah. And France is the cradle of the Enlightenment. It's here in Europe. It was the first country which has introduced the modern times. I mean, they have the big philosophers of the 18th, 19th century are French. They had such a big culture of freedom and tolerance and so on. And this is all going lost. you can't even play. There was in Geneva, they wanted, it's Switzerland, but it's very near to France. They wanted to play by Voltaire about Mohammed, and it had been forbidden because the Muslim people reacted, and finally it was forbidden to play this critical play of Voltaire about Islam. I think if we accept to censure ourselves, yeah, censorship of ourselves because of the pressure of Islam, we have already lost the war.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, because what they're doing by being offended and us changing what we're doing is they're implementing Sharia without us realizing it, because we are doing what Muhammad said to do, and we're doing out of fear. It's incredible, and it's very sad, and I'm hoping we wake up. And Oscar, what can the listeners do to stop this tide of the Islamization of the West?
The most important is, as soon as you have to elect some people, for example, the politic, for me, is the only possibility to react, which is acceptable. You can't take your gun and go on and shoot people. That's not our way of solving problems.
Right.
That would be absolutely contrary to all our beliefs and our culture. But we have some possibilities. In Switzerland, we have the direct democracy that helps us. So we could have this initiative about forbid the minarets. Now we have one on another, or two others initiatives. One is to the possibility to throw out of the country criminal people, which are criminal people who are coming out from out
from
countries. We can send them back. And the third was a limitation of mass immigration. And I think people should vote for these parties which want to control immigration. It's not to forbid it absolutely. It's not don't want people to go abroad and to travel and so on. No, it's not that. It's only to have a control, to have the possibility to say, we want those people, this category of people, we want such an amount of people, not more than that, and so on. To adapt the immigration to our needs and to our own well-being. Because Switzerland is a very little country. It's 40,000 square kilometers. It's nothing. It's quite, in comparison with the United States, very, very small. And we let in a lot of people all the time, 100,000 people every year. It's a big amount of people.
That's a lot.
How long will you go on with that? And what is the quality of integration you can impose? Because let in thousands of people and not be able to integrate them is a very bad idea. So I would say to the listeners, vote for the parties who want to limit the immigration, to control immigration, who want to be very strong on the request of integration, of assimilation, people who really want to defend your culture, your country, your soul, your achievements. And they welcome foreign people, but only if they accept the values which are our values, which accept to integrate. That's the most important. It's the only thing I think people can do, or to go into politics by themselves.
I think that's what the founders of our nation hoped, that we would rotate, and that people, you know, just the average citizen would want to serve, to do that, to protect the republic, to protect the sovereignty, just as you're doing, to protect the sovereignty of Switzerland, because we don't want to see these great countries disappear because they were busy appeasing a culture that didn't want to assimilate. So we don't want to see that. Oscar, finally, where can the listeners follow and support your work?
Oh, they can find me on the internet if they tip in my name, Oscar Freisinger, Then there's a blog. There's everything on the internet. I'm very easy to find because it's now 16 years I'm fighting, I'm making politics and so on, and I'm quite known here in Switzerland and in Europe because I went to other countries even to make some speeches, to make conferences and so on. So it's not very difficult to find me on the internet.
Well, we're very well aware of the 2011 speech because that one's still going viral. I don't know if you realize that. you're a hero in many pockets in this country that value freedom, and we really greatly appreciate that. Oscar, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, and thank you for all you do for the cause of freedom. Will you come back on the show again? Yes?
Why not? If there's a need for it, if the situation is changing and some new situation appear, why not? That would be a pleasure for me.
Yeah, it would be our pleasure. And if you could bear with me, I'm going to try to say something in German. I'm not good. I only know a little Yiddish, okay? And I know a little French. But let me try to say this. Es lebe die Freiheit. Long live freedom. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, es lebe die Freiheit. Vive la liberté. Yes.
Vive la liberté. I was going to say that next.
In Italian, viva la libertà.
Oh, I like that. I got to remember that. Thanks so much again, and may God bless you, your work, and Switzerland. Bye for now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.